The text is John 1, verse 14. In days past, shocking words could be found in Ripley's Believe It or Not or The Inquirer. That those words would now be found on TikTok, Instagram, or X. Shocking words are remembered, so high voltage are they, but not the ones I'm referring to. The most shocking words to most people at Christmas are, only one more shopping day left. We're inured to shock this time of year. We don't even raise an eyebrow at snowmen coming to life, reindeer flying, and a 48-inch belly fitting down a 30-inch chimney. So today, we pause so as not to pass by the most shocking words ever written. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Peter said of this truth that the angels in heaven bend over, hands on their knees, and look over the edge of heaven to wonder at the miracle of miracles. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. If these words don't shock you, then either you don't know or don't care what they mean. The people John writes to did. The Old Testament church had waited for centuries for the coming of the Lord in the person of His Word. After returning from captivity in Babylon, when the scriptures were read, instead of reading, "The Lord appeared," they would say, "The Word of the Lord did." Anytime the Lord revealed or manifested Himself to the Old Testament church, it said the Word of the Lord was doing it. It said the Word of the Lord was doing it. Well, John now announces that the Word of the Lord that had come to Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, and all the prophets had at last put on flesh and blood for good. No more would He take human form to walk with Adam, talk with Abraham, or meet with Moses, only to put it off after. Now, the Word was made flesh and would dwell among them. Now, isn't this in itself shocking? Flesh and blood are far beneath the Word of God. We consider it a miracle when someone of wealth and power gets grimy and dirty, helping a poor family fix up a ghetto home. The Word becoming flesh is a far greater reach. The Word existed from before the beginning. He's always been with God, for He Himself is God. He, without beginning or end, takes on a birthday in time. The Word, which always existed outside of time, steps into time, grows, and ages. Adults do something like this when they play with toddlers. A toddler has a slow conception of time. If you play too fast, they can't keep up. Furthermore, they can play the same game over and over and not get bored. The Word was made flesh and came down into our time zone, not to play with us, but to redeem us. Isn't that shocking? No. Well, maybe it's not concrete enough. The Creator is entrusting Himself into the hands of His creatures. If you've had teenagers, you can relate. Remember how you felt the first time you got into the passenger seat with the child you brought into the world driving? Well, still can't relate? The Word of the Lord is spirit. Spirits don't have flesh and blood. As spirit, God the Son didn't have to eat or drink to sustain a body. And not to put too fine a point on it, as spirit, God had no spittle to swallow, no waste to eliminate. Bodily functions aren't sinful in themselves, but there is an unpleasantness about them. If you don't think so, you haven't been around little ones in a while. C.S. Lewis said, if you want to get the hang of it, of a spirit taking on a body, think how you would like to become a slug or a crab. In becoming flesh, the Word accepted all the bodily functions and knew that. You and I don't remember being diapered, nursed, burped, or bathed. The Word did at the time and remembers it now. How humbling for God Almighty. Think of a parent showing naked baby pictures to a prom date. You and I only get a real glimpse of this humiliation, that Jesus went through when we're old, infirm, and must depend on loved ones or strangers to be bathed, fed, dressed, or toileted. We shudder at the thought and even pray that the Lord spare us from needing such care. Yet we're not shocked that God become flesh, a newborn, needing to be cared for by sinners. Well, the Word was made flesh. Well, that's shocking enough. It only increases when we get to the second part of that verse, and dwelt among us. It would have been shocking enough for the Word to take on flesh and remain in heaven. It is shocking that the temporarily enfleshed Word walked with Adam and Eve in paradise. But the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is the bulls and the bloods, the dust and the mud that Garth Brooks sang about. Or it's the muscle and blood that Tennessee Ernie Ford sang of. You've been around people from other cultures and noted how they have distinct odors which are off-putting to you. Well, what does a creature smell like to the Creator? What does that which is mortal smell like to immortality? What does fallen humanity smell like to holy divinity? If the heavens aren't clean in His sight, as Job 15 says, what do you think we look like? Yet, shockers of shockers, the Word came to dwell in all of this, to rescue us, to save us, to redeem us. You know how the people in glass houses ought not to throw stones? Well, people of dirt who live in the filth and fallenness of it shouldn't take the Savior in flesh for granted. But the Word came into His own, and His own received Him not, says John. That's the Old Testament church. They did as Isaiah lamented. An ox knows its owner, a donkey recognizes its master, but Israel doesn't know its master. The Word of the Lord became a persona non grata among His own people. And not only them, but the world He made also didn't recognize their Creator. John says He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. That's the Greek word for recognize. It's devastating when dementia takes you from your loved one's knowledge, i.e. they don't recognize you. Even if a pet does that, it hurts. What more could the Word do? He had come in the mouth of the prophets. He had come in the actions of the Old Testament priests. He had come in the reign of godly kings. Yet the Word of the Lord was not recognized, not only not recognized, but rejected. Still, the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. Rather than rejecting His creation, rather than leaving them in their self-chosen darkness and death, the Word came down and got us. Recognize this from the parable of the vineyard. After the Lord sent messengers, whom the vineyard people beat, mistreated, and even killed, He says this, "I will send my beloved son." Probably they will respect Him when they see Him. Probably they did not. Yet still the Lord sent Him into the virgin's womb to dwell among us. And He dwelled among us under the sentence of death and damnation for sin, although He Himself was sinless. He dwelled among us with the sadness and sorrows that sinners live with daily. He didn't just take on flesh, but in it bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Although He was without sin, His conscience knew the weight of all your sins. Although His body was perfect, according to Matthew, He took our infirmities and carried our diseases. Every disgusting, repellent, foul thing we experience in this body, in our sin and sinfulness, Jesus felt in His perfect body. You know, the clothes that I hunt and fish in, I could care less what I spill on them or stain them with. A suit, I feel bad about, disappointed when I stain it. Sinners are hunting and fishing clothes. Jesus is the clean, dressy suit. And He goes forth in that suit to hunt and fish for sinners in the blood and the mud of our fallen world. That's shocking. God did for us like a father did for a son. He had told that if He ever did a certain thing again, He'd be locked in the attic without supper for the night. Well, the boy did it. And after sending the boy into the attic, The dad tried to eat, but couldn't. His wife, noticing, said, "I know what you're thinking, but you must not bring the boy out of the attic. It would only serve to make him disobey again. He won't respect your word if you don't keep it. You must not fail to keep your promise to punish his disobedience." The dad replied, "You're right. I will keep my word." The dad left the table, went to the attic, and when his son went to sleep that night on the floor, his dad's arm was his pillow. Shocking, but not as much as the truth is. The word was made flesh, and he spent the night of darkness and death locked in the attic of our sins and their judgment, all right. But he took our place in the attic. Only he experienced the death of that dark, dead attic, so that we might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word was made flesh and did what we can never do. Understand that? Before you believed this, before you took comfort in it, before you knew it, whether you ever believed this, that the word was made flesh to take your place under the weight and penalty of the law, he did it. Whether you ever take comfort in it or even know it, this is the truth. Jesus came into our flesh and blood to save sinners, swallow death, and defeat the devil. Charles Wesley's Christmas hymn paints the picture. "Those infant hands shall burst our bands and work out our salvation. Strangle the crooked serpent, destroy his works forever, and open set the heavenly gate." This Christmas hymn speaks of a foundational truth. The legend of Hercules has him killing two snakes sent into his crib by his jealous stepmother. And that story is the foundation of all his mythology. So the truth of the snakes of sin and death were sent after the word made flesh by the devil. But Jesus killed them by being bitten to death. That's a foundation of our theology. Luther too expresses the comfort of this shocking theology of the word made flesh. And he does so with an emphasis on it being a done deal. We sang it last night. "What harm can sin and death then do? The true God now abides with you. Let hell and Satan rage and chafe. Christ is your brother. Ye are safe." C.S. Lewis, as we say, goes here too. He observes that for the higher a thing is, the lower it can descend. A man can sympathize with a horse, but a horse cannot sympathize with a rat. Then he closes with, "Only one has descended into hell. But the longest step was the first, into flesh and blood to dwell among us." Amen.